I want to tell you today about bedtime restriction. It is the most powerful cognitive behavioral therapy technique for insomnia.
Hello, welcome to the Sleep to Healthy. I'm your instructor, Dennis Trumpy, and this is lesson number 4 of the Sleep to Healthy, How to Cure Insomnia class. This lesson is titled The Strange World of CBTI. In the last lesson, we learned about insomnia, how you developed your insomnia, and some of the initial things you can do to start sleeping better. In today's lesson, we are going to cover the 5 elements of CBTI training so that you have a roadmap of the weeks ahead and can see better how everything's going to fit together. The method this course is based on is called CBTI, or Cognitive Behavioral Therapy for Insomnia. The name is technical, but the methods are very hands-on, as you will learn to appreciate. I have taken the liberty in this course to rename some of the terms to make it more user-friendly and familiar. I will tell you the proper technical term along with the more familiar term so you can communicate clearly with healthcare professionals or find what you're looking for on the web more easily. In this lesson, we will introduce you to the strange world of CBTI. I call it strange because some of the practices are quite counterintuitive unless you understand how your sleep system works and how you have sabotaged it in your effort to cure your insomnia. CBTI is well recognized by sleep professionals around the world as a highly effective way to tackle insomnia. For instance, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine did 2 systematic reviews looking at a total of 85 clinical trials. Both reviews concluded that CBTI leads to significant improvements in getting to sleep and staying asleep. The National Institute of Health Expert Panel on Insomnia released a consensus statement recognizing CBTI as the first-line treatment to insomnia. In addition, the British Association of Psychopharmacology has also issued a statement recommending CBTI as the frontline treatment for insomnia. As you can see, this is a method firmly grounded in science and a method you can trust to help you sleep better. It doesn't mean the methods are easy, just effective. If you are considering using CBTI to cure your insomnia, you should make sure that any true causes of insomnia are dealt with first, as we reviewed in the last lesson. For instance, if you suffer from obstructive sleep apnea, you can practice CBTI till the cows come home, and it's not likely that you will get good restorative sleep. Your healthcare provider is the best person to help you unravel any physical, medical, chemical, or psychological issues that may be the cause of your insomnia. So make sure you consult with them first. CBTI, or Cognitive Behavioral Therapy for Insomnia, is based on a simple but profound premise. Thoughts and beliefs lead to behaviors, which lead to outcomes which may or may not be helpful. I'll repeat that. Thoughts and beliefs lead to behaviors which lead to desirable or undesirable outcomes. There's a diagram at sleeptohealthy.com that might help you to visualize this concept. In real terms, if your thought is inaccurate, then your behaviors will be inappropriate and the outcome will not be what is helpful for your insomnia. In terms of insomnia, this means that if you have an inaccurate belief about sleep, you will take the wrong action and the result will be continued or even worsening insomnia. Let me give you a couple of examples close to the heart of CBTI. Let's say you have a poor night's sleep. Your thought might be, "I slept poorly last night, so I'll make up for it tonight." Your action might be to go to sleep earlier to get more sleep. Sounds logical. The result will likely be to make your sleep issue even worse rather than better. Why? Because when you go to sleep earlier than usual, your circadian rhythm is not prepared for your brain to sleep, and you haven't been up long enough for your sleep drive to be strong. Concepts discussed in lessons number 2 and 3. The result will be that you likely will sleep poorly once again. The wrong thought led to a wrong action, which led to an undesirable outcome. Then, using the same logic, you might try to go to bed even earlier the following night, making the problem even worse. As another example, let's say you wake up at night and can't get back to sleep. Your belief is that you should stay in bed and force yourself to get back to sleep. This creates added stress and anxiety, which we learned in earlier lessons is the number one enemy of sleep. On top of that, you're training yourself that the bed isn't for sleep, it's a place where you have unpleasant experiences of fretting about your sleep. When these two outcomes are combined, the result is that you don't get back to sleep and you have a worse night's sleep than you might otherwise have had. The wrong thought led to the wrong action, which led to an undesired outcome. Thought, action, outcome. If you remember only one thing from this course, remember that mantra, thought, action, outcome. CBTI cuts to the chase by focusing on the wrong beliefs so you can take the right actions and have the right outcomes. There are 5 elements to CBTI. Compact sleep, sleep buddy, sleep myths, de-stressing, and sleep tips. Each of these elements will be given its own in-depth lesson, but I'll give you a brief overview right now so you have an idea of what lies ahead, how the different elements fit together, and to help reinforce the concepts. If you go to my website, sleepthehealthy.com, I will send you an infographic showing you the 5 CBTI elements in a way that helps you to see how everything fits together. It will illustrate what caused your wrong strategy to tackle your insomnia, why that wrong action of yours perpetuates your insomnia, what the corrective action is, and why the result will cure your insomnia and help you to sleep better. This is like a cheat sheet that can help you as you implement your CBTI training. This chart is not available anywhere else on the internet, so I encourage you to download it at sleepthehealthy.com. When you were a baby, nobody had to teach you how to sleep. Even as a child and young adult, you probably slept well without going to sleep school. But at some time in your life, you picked up some mistaken beliefs that led to poor choices and bad outcomes that you now call insomnia. The hopeful thing is that you can undo the whole process. Fix your mistaken beliefs so you can take better actions with the outcome of improved sleep. Sound promising? Even better news is that this new wisdom will last you a lifetime. If you regress, then you can go back to this podcast for a refresher and get back on the right track. I do it all the time. It takes a while to make it work the first time, but once you master the techniques, relearning is a snap. But a warning, you can expect to regress from time to time from your progress, meaning that even after you're successful at restoring your sleep, you will find times when you fall back into bad habits once again. This is perfectly normal. Psychologists call this extinction, meaning that we naturally fall back into previous patterns even after we think we've developed a new, better habit. But now, you will have the tools and the confidence to pinpoint the problem and take corrective action to get your sleep back on track fast. So, let's dive into the 5 elements of CBTI, shall we? The first element of CBTI is called compact sleep. This is the most technical of the CBTI elements, but don't be discouraged if you're not a rocket scientist, because the concept is nothing new to you. Compact sleep just means that when you're in bed, you should be sleeping, not laying awake. Sounds pretty obvious, doesn't it? But if you have insomnia, you likely spend a significant amount of time in bed not sleeping. This is the example I gave earlier, where the mistaken belief is that if we sleep poorly, we should stay in bed longer to make up for the lost sleep. When we tackle compact sleep, we are going to make it clear why staying in bed longer to sleep better is a very bad strategy, and exactly what to do about it. I will cover compact sleep in the next lesson. It is a bit technical because you have to do some calculations to measure how compact your sleep is. But not to worry. Go to my website, sleepthehealthy.com, and you will find a calculator that does all the math for you. I don't want you to lose any sleep over it. In that lesson, we are going to learn more about why extending your time in bed perpetuates your insomnia and what to do about it. Making your sleep more compact is hard work because it forces you to stay up when you want to go to sleep and to get out of bed when you want to sleep in, at least for a while, until you get back on track. This is what Dr. Daniel Erickson had to say about that.
I want to tell you today about bedtime restriction. It is the most powerful cognitive behavioral therapy technique for insomnia. And it works by exploiting your natural sleep drive to help you sleep better. And a word on that, what is sleep drive? Well, sleep, just as hunger, is homeostatically regulated, which simply means that just as you become more and more hungry the longer you go without eating, the more and more sleep you become the longer you go without sleeping. So the longer you go without sleeping, the stronger your sleep drive, your hunger for sleep becomes, and that will help you not only to fall asleep, but sustain sleep.
In the CBTI world, compact sleep is referred to as sleep restriction therapy. I gave it a new name because the formal name is not accurate. It creates fear in the hearts of insomniacs, and it is hard to remember. So, see why I changed the name? Second on the list is Sleep Buddy, which normally goes by the ominous-sounding name of Stimulus Control Therapy. Again, I think you can see why I changed the name. Your relationship with sleep should be more like your relationship with a friend than an object. Think of someone that rubs you the wrong way. Someone that you just don't get along with. Someone who, every time you're with them, results in you having negative feelings like anger, impatience, frustration, awkwardness, fear, or disrespect. It's very hard to feel at ease when you're around this person. You can hardly imagine how anyone else can stand them. For you, they are a stress trigger. But even though you have a distaste for this person, there are others who like this person. This person has friends. They have relatives such as a mother, a father, a sibling, or another relative who enjoys their company and appreciates them. Other people, like customers, teammates, or fellow staff members, probably like this person. The fact that others like this person means that the stress that you feel is your own reaction to this person, not an absolute quality of the person. It isn't that the person has the quality of unlikability. It is that you have developed an aversion to this person and you react with stress. Over time, you've created negative associations with this person while someone else has created positive associations. Now we're going to take a leap from this person to your bed. What do you think of your bed and sleep? When you're in bed, do you relax and naturally drift off into a deep and restful sleep? Or do you have negative associations? Perhaps you dread bedtime. Perhaps you're worried about what will happen tonight, the long bouts of being awake at night. Maybe as you lie in bed, you anticipate how crappy you will feel tomorrow morning and all day long. Your bed can trigger uncomfortable feelings and reactions from you, whereas a good sleeper has a great relationship with their bed and their sleep. Do you see the parallel? You can build up associations with an object or a person that causes you stress. You might not even be aware of it. In the same way, you can build up negative associations with your sleep and your bed that triggers stress. Here is a thought experiment that should give you hope about your relationship to sleep in your bed. Think back to that person that you imagined earlier, the one who irks you so. What if you found out the root of why they annoy you? Perhaps they had a traumatic childhood and now they struggle to cope in the world. Perhaps they have a mental illness beyond their control that makes it hard to communicate in the way that you like. Perhaps they had a traumatic experience such as going to war or living in a violent neighborhood that permanently scarred their brain. Can you feel your negative association with them start to melt, even if just a little bit? Sleep Buddy is all about realigning these uncomfortable reactions you have with your bed and sleep until your bed becomes a refuge and sleep something you look forward to each night. It may sound far-fetched to you now, but give me a chance. And in lessons 6 and 7, let's see if we can't change that relationship for you. These first two elements, compact sleep and Sleep Buddy, are the hardest but also the most effective elements of CBTI, or Cognitive Behavioral Therapy for Insomnia, that this course relies on. They are the hardest because you must change your behaviors. You will likely find the changes uncomfortable and difficult to implement. I don't tell you this to discourage you, but to help you prepare mentally to improve your chances of success and so you can tackle them with less stress. Also, it's good to know that after you've got through the first two elements, the rest is downhill. Sleep myths is number 3. It hits at the heart of the belief, action, outcome system that we talked about earlier. In this case, the beliefs and things you tell yourself about sleep that leads you into trouble. We'll explore many incorrect thoughts and beliefs that you have and how to correct them. Many of these false beliefs are perpetuated by the media, so you'll have to be strong and stand firm in your newfound beliefs to avoid being unduly influenced by the media hype about sleep. As an example, probably the biggest myth that we learned in Lesson 2 and 3 was the 8-hour sleep myth, that you should aim for 8 hours of sleep a night. We learned that our goal should be to feel well rested and alert during the day, not to aim for any particular sleep time. I will give you a refresher on this concept and introduce you to many more concepts in lesson number 7 and tell you what to do about them. One of the key sleep myths is sleep effort, the belief that you can improve your sleep by trying harder. This is what Michael Schwartz has to say about that.
And as sleep confidence declines, usually what you find is that efforts increase. So people start to do things. They start to kind of grasp for anything to help with sleep. It can be very, you know, emotionally very difficult to go through bouts of insomnia. And so people are almost willing to try anything. You know, they get kind of impulsive and they try to grasp onto the whatever they can find that's supposedly helping with sleep. And as those efforts increase, it really just makes the insomnia worse.
The CBTI lexis for sleep myths is cognitive distortions. Number 4 is de-stressing techniques. Basically, enemy number 1 for sleep is stress and anxiety. Sleep and stress and anxiety go together like water and oil, or maybe more like fire and the wood frame of a house. We know who wins that fight. De-stressing relies on meditation and other techniques to help reverse the stress that builds up during the day. You might already do some meditation, which is great, or you might have an aversion to meditation, in which case I will give you alternative approaches to be calm and relaxed and ready for sleep. I will give you some new techniques and things you can do to fight the fear and anxiety monster every night. In CBTI jargon, this is called relaxation. And finally, in last place on purpose, because it is the lowest priority, is sleep tips. Now, ironically, sleep tips is what you hear all the time in the media and on websites when you search for solutions to insomnia. It includes advice such as turning the lights down low before bedtime and avoiding caffeine after the early afternoon and to keep your bedroom dark and so on and so on. The media puts sleep tips in first place because the concepts are simple and they make sense. Some CBTI experts don't even think they should be on the CBTI curriculum, and I only decided to keep it after careful consideration of the pros and cons. CBTI puts sleep tips in last place for several reasons. First, because most people with insomnia, like you, know these tidbits of advice cold, and they've learned that by themselves they just don't work. That's because unless you're taking care of elements 1 through 4, sleep tips are not going to help you very much. The second is that if you're not careful, sleep tips cause even more problems than they solve. This is because each piece of sleep advice can become a stress point, where you become stressed if you deviate from perfection in any of the several items on the sleep tips list. CBTI experts call these sleep crutches because you have the mistaken belief that deviating from it in any way causes you to have insomnia, which is not true. Non-compact sleep. Having sleep in the bed as your enemy rather than your buddy. Believing the sleep myths and not knowing how to de-stress are perpetuating your insomnia, not whether you dim your lights in the evening. Sleep specialists will tell you that many of their patients are there because they have developed an obsession with the sleep tips that perpetuate their insomnia. You might be one of those people. So be warned. In lesson number 9, we'll cover sleep tips, but I will also teach you how to avoid having sleep tips hijack your sleep. It's better to view sleep tips as saboteurs rather than as solutions to insomnia. Disregarding sleep tips can sabotage your sleep, but following them will not solve insomnia. So, we still want to learn about them. In the CBTI world, sleep tips are called sleep hygiene. So, there you have it. CBTI, or Cognitive Behavioral Therapy for Insomnia, in a nutshell. A method of regaining your sleep using a well-proven and respected method that you have likely never heard of before now. Do you know how to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Insomnia is your elephant. You have spent years building up an empire. It will not be dismantled in a day. Old beliefs will resist displacement by new ideas, no matter how false the old ones are. You can trust the CBTI system, but it will take time to eat the elephant, likely several weeks, and if you're not executing well, even longer. After going through the 5 lessons on the CBTI elements, you might have an intuition as to which element would be most helpful to you right now. You might want to focus on that element first. Don't try to do too much at one time. The lessons are organized roughly in priority, meaning that you are most likely to get the most results from element number one, which is compact sleep, then number two, sleep buddy, and so on. I mentioned earlier that the five elements work somewhat independently from one another, meaning that you can tackle the skills in any order you want. You don't have to master one to move on to the next. Skills work together like links in a chain. The chain is only as strong as the weakest link, so try to identify your weakest link and work on that. When it is strong, then look for the next weakest link, and so on, but make sure you maintain the element you have mastered while you work on the weaker link. For instance, perhaps you tackle compact sleep first. You get to a point where you've improved, but you've plateaued. Then you will want to keep doing what you're doing in compact sleep, but perhaps start working on number two, sleep buddy. You will find that as you improve on the sleep buddy, that your compact sleep will improve too. All the elements are supportive of one another. That is one of the beautiful things about CBTI. You don't have to strive for perfection. Just get the elements good enough and enjoy the benefits. That covers the five elements of CBTI. Show notes, including the infographic giving a detailed overview of CBTI not available anywhere else on the web, is available at my website, sleeptohealthy.com. I don't know if you've noticed it, but in this course, I avoid telling you that you are an insomniac, but rather refer to you as someone with insomnia. By calling you an insomniac, I'm condemning you to a permanent state of being, someone who has and always will have insomnia. By calling you someone with insomnia, I'm telling you that you have a temporary condition that can be cured. Please don't ever refer to yourself as an insomniac, as that label and sense of permanence can hinder progress. The next lesson is titled Compact Sleep, the New Sleep Metric. Compact sleep is one of the strongest predictors of insomnia. This means that if you told me how compact your sleep is, I can accurately predict whether you have insomnia or not, even if I know nothing else about you. And I definitely don't need to know how many hours of sleep you get, right? So, it's an important skill to learn. We will learn why measuring the duration of your sleep is all wrong, and what the right metric is, and how to measure it. This is the first lesson where you will be given a difficult assignment that will take guts and determination to work through. It's not a lesson for the faint of heart.
Now, if you're still not sleeping well, and your sleep efficiency is less than 85%, that means you're still not having good quality consolidated sleep, and you should spend less time in bed still. Try to spend about 30 minutes time less in bed. So get out of bed 30 minutes earlier, or go to bed about 30 minutes later.
This lesson, like other lessons, comes with an assignment. You can find the assignments at sleeptohealthy.com. Today's assignment is to go through the five CBTI elements and decide which one you should tackle first. Think about which of the problems each element solves and then weigh that against your situation. Pick the element that you think will solve the problem that is most holding you back from a good night's sleep. Then, when you listen to each lesson, even if it's not the lesson on your chosen element, you will pay more attention to the information that relates to your situation. The five elements are listed on sleeptohealthy.com for this lesson, or get the infographic mentioned earlier from the website and make your decision. Deciding which element to focus on first will allow you to get more out of the next five lessons, which cover each of the CBTI elements. Your second assignment is to review your sleep journal entries that you have recorded thus far. go through the information, keeping in mind what you learned today, and see what insights you notice. Also, ask yourself what you could do to improve your journaling skills, given your increased knowledge of CBTI. I would love to hear your answers to these questions, so please text, email, leave a voice message, fill in my feedback form. All methods are easily found at sleepthehealthy.com. Well, that's it for Lesson 4. I really appreciate any feedback you can give on how this course is helping or frustrating you by using any of the contact methods on the website. I hope it's obvious, but this podcast is not a substitute for advice from a qualified healthcare professional. The sole purpose of this podcast is to educate and entertain. As we do not know your particulars, we cannot possibly provide professional or medical advice. Your use of the information in this podcast is at your own risk. You just need to know proven instructions on what you can do today to sleep better tonight, so you can feel and function better tomorrow. This also allows you to repeat lessons, as it's hard to absorb all the information the first time through, and the information will make more sense after you've had the context of the whole course. You, like most people, will likely benefit from repeated listening. The lessons will be updated based on student feedback, so the next time you listen to the same lesson, it may be improved since the last time. And that's about it. Thanks for joining me in my sleep class. I look forward to seeing you again on the next episode of the Sleep to Healthy podcast. See you then.